So I started hiking probably at about 7 years old. We had a family friend that lived up the road called Ray Peace, or we called him Mr. Peace. He's a long-term Illawarra resident, so is his family, and he worked up at Coromel Mine from the age of 14 up until about 76, I think it was, so a long period. And he also knew the bush really well and the escarpment, and told us all these amazing stories about crystal pools and waterfalls and cascades. And
hi, I'm Robin Johnson, and welcome to Wollongong Let's Get Salty. For 20 years, I've advised industry and business in environmental management. With leaders from community, environment and industry, we'll deep dive issues that impact us all and discuss how we as a community can take action to move towards a sustainable future. Today I have with me Australian landscape photographer Brad Chilby of Chilby Photography. Welcome.
Thanks, Robin.
Now, many people listening will have seen your photos in newspapers, local publications and social media, and you have some epic photos. I'm particularly drawn to one called Pool of Drama.
Okay.
And this is taken at Coaldale Ocean Pool with this huge surf behind it and this amazing stormy sky. And the photo is like you've slowed down all this energy and movement into what was just a snapshot in time. And I just get lost in this photo looking at all the water movement going on and what the clouds are doing. It's just such a great shot. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
So to be honest, I've spent way too much time on your website, and it's because I actually love reading your photo descriptions. You write about how you've visited places since you were a kid, or how you've climbed slippery slopes to capture fog because it creates magic in the shot.
Sure.
And it seems you love exploring far off the beaten track in search of capturing the very essence of nature in your images. I understand you've been hiking the escarpment from a very young age. Tell me how that came about for you.
Okay, so I started hiking probably at about 7 years old. We had a family friend that lived up the road called Ray Peace, or we called him Mr. Peace. He's a long-term Illawarra resident, so is his family, and he worked up at Coromel Mine from the age of 14 up until about 76, I think it was, so a long period. And he also knew the bush really well and the escarpment, and told us all these amazing stories about crystal pools and waterfalls and cascades and the waterfall tree and all that sort of thing. And we're about seven, and he started taking me, my brother and a friend up the mountains. I was only about seven at the first time I went to the top of Broker's Nose, which was amazing at that age.
Yeah, it's young.
Yeah, and we explored, you know, rainforests and giant fig trees and a lot of those stories he told us, you know, we got to go and see, which was really good. And I guess that started my interest in, you know, in nature and hiking and exploring, and saw a lot of old history up there as well, from old tunnels to old, you know, mine equipment. Mm. And, you know, he sort of told us a lot of the stories, you know, about the Illawarra as well, which was really nice.
Yeah, awesome. So you were hooked.
I was hooked straight away. Yeah, and still am.
It's such a beautiful place. I can completely understand why you are hooked. So in a recent interview that you did with The Fold Illawarra, you mentioned that COVID lockdowns had provided you with this opportunity to have a look back through all your Illawarra landscape photos, and that you were reminded of how incredible this place is. Now, I couldn't agree with you more. I feel a really deep sense of connection to Wollongong, even though I didn't grow up here.
Yep.
And it draws me in every day with its escarpment views and its cool and calm bush and its deep blue ocean and just its laid back beachy culture.
Yep.
So I think that we have this topographical advantage here in Wollongong where we kind of get this big welcome home hug as you come over Bulleye Tops, and you can see Lake Illawarra and the escarpment and the beach, and then you start your descent and you kind of feel cooler, and it's like this tropical rainforest in here where it's just kind of feels like home to me.
Yeah, I know. I get the same feeling, and I think so many others do as well. It's an amazing feeling. There's, you know, a really good quote about that.
All right.
Yeah, so do you want me to tell you what that
is? Yeah, yes.
Okay, so it seemed on descending and entering the Illawarra that we had suddenly become transported into a glen of tropical vegetation. The dry, arid soil of the stringy bark forest, with its stunted vegetation, was exchanged for a damp, humid region presenting a prodigal luxuriance and a wealth of vegetation almost inconceivable. Yeah, that's a quote I've sort of known for 20 years or so that I found or come across, and thought it really told the story of the Illawarra pretty well, and it was by George Angus in 1847.
Mm, I love that. It's like descending and entering Illawarra.
Yes.
I think we're so lucky with the escarpment that we like come down into it.
Yeah, and there's not many places with the mountains like we have, you know, as a backdrop as well. So it's sort of, yeah, you know, you really feel at home with them. It's, yeah.
Beautiful place. So I want to talk a bit about immersing yourself in nature, as I feel this helps us to establish a connection with a place, and when you're connected, you care about its environment.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly being in nature has benefits for my well-being, so I'll notice it if I haven't been walking or swimming in nature. I'm going to ask you in a sec what your favourite way is to immerse yourself in nature.
Sure.
So have a think. I'll go first.
Okay.
My favourite way is to swim laps in an ocean pool, and I often finish with a few laps of underwater breaststroke.
Okay.
But instead of being face down, I'm face up on my back.
Okay.
And so what I love is being submerged and looking up at the sky, and I just watch bubbles from my breath rise up to the surface, and there's just like watery sounds around me. Then each breath to the surface is this re-emergence, and I just feel alive and happy and salty, and I do it all with this crazy big grin on my face. So I just love it.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's my favourite thing.
It's really good.
So what's your favourite way to immerse yourself in nature?
I guess for me it's hiking and exploring. I love, you know, going off the beaten track, places where there's not too many people around. And I guess the biggest thing for me is exploring new places or going further than I've been before.
Yeah.
I love finding sort of new hidden places around the escarpment or in the southern highlands, you know, the bases of waterfalls and things like that.
Mm.
Yeah, and photography-wise, you know, I love waterfalls, just the sound of, you know, after heavy rain, the water tumbling down the mountainside sounds amazing.
Yeah, there's something about that power of water.
There is, yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. I totally agree with that. I think it's also the bush sort of changes too. It's like this deeper green, and it's, you know, that moisture that comes and then all the mosses and
the ferns and the moss and the rainforest vegetation. Yep.
You have a huge collection of Illawarra historical photos on your website, including this great shot from Bulleye Lookout in the early 1900s where the people in the photo are dressed in their like long suits and long dresses and their broad brim hats. They're on this timber lookout that's, you know, looks way too far over the edge of
the... I know, it does, yep.
And it's just such a juxtaposition to today where, you know, we would be taking selfies in caps and singlets and short shorts.
Yep.
But at the time that that photo was taken in the early 1900s, your family had already been here for a few generations.
Yeah.
Yep. So tell me about your long family history post-settlement and I guess how that then lent itself to you having a passion for local history.
Sure. Officially, my family arrived in 1818, a guy called Thomas Childerley, and he changed his name when in Wollongong to Thomas Chilby. So we're all descendants of Thomas Chilby, and there's quite a lot of Chilbys in the Wollongong area, particularly at Bulleye. He lived in the first house in the Illawarra with Charles Throsby Smith in, I think it was Smith Street in Wollongong. And then he moved shortly after to Bulleye. Him and his wife had 17 children. So,
oh my gosh.
I know, it's huge. And a couple of those kids went on to have, you know, 13 and 10. So in the early days, there was tons of Chilbys in Bulleye. And the hill at the bottom of Bulleye Pass, which is called Bulleye Hill now, but it was known as Chilby Hill back then. And almost every house on the hill, there was a Chilby in it or a relation of a Chilby. Yeah, so there was a lot around. It was the most common surname in Bulleye at that point, and it's still the 10th most common surname in Bulleye now.
All right.
For an unusual surname that's specifically a Wollongong surname, really.
Mm.
Yeah, so they've been in the Illawarra for, you know, a very long time. That's on my dad's father's side, it's on the Chilby side, and also on my dad's mother's side, that they've been in Wollongong for a long time too, and they had Henson's buses, which ended up getting bought by Hills, but had a bus come in Corrimal.
Mm-hmm.
They also had a nursery, a service station, and a few other small businesses around Corrimal, sort of from 1929 to 1970.
Okay.
So I've got a really keen interest in the Illawarra history. Not just them, all stories about the Illawarra, whether it's war stories or mining stories or Red Cedar Getters or Aboriginal history and Dreamtime stories. So I think we've got a really rich history here that some areas probably don't have as much as us.
Yeah. And so Some of those photos that are on your website, have they come from like family
Most of
photo
them
albums?
Have, yeah. A combination of from my own family and some from Ray Peace, that the guy I mentioned before that I went hiking with, some were from his family. So, but a lot of the inner Wollongong ones and the CBD ones and Corrimal were from my family, mainly from the Hensons that had the bus company.
Hmm.
So,
yeah, oh, I love looking at old photos. So you're obviously very passionate about local history and you've found a way to merge that with your love of photography. So people can book you for the day in a small group to do a tour of the local history of the Illawarra, and at the same time you help them hone their landscape photography skills. So tell me what you love about doing that.
I guess I love promoting Wollongong is a big part of it. I sort of, and the Illawarra, I've been doing it I think since I was in school. I've always loved Wollongong, and so many people used to say they wanted to move to Sydney, and I couldn't understand why, because I thought we've got everything here and it's much nicer and the scenery is better.
Yeah.
So I love talking about the Illawarra history and giving them a little bit of knowledge, taking them to some of the sites that they may not go to by themselves,
mm-hmm.
All around the Illawarra. Yeah, I also enjoy teaching them about photography as well. So it's, you know, I enjoy it and hopefully they do too.
Yeah. So what sort of a crowd do you get?
It's generally, I guess, people around 45 to 55, I'd say, would be the general age group. I don't really get too many younger people, very rarely, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and I think a lot of them these days would learn more so from YouTube and that sort of thing. But, yeah, a lot of the customers I have, yeah, usually sort of middle-aged, I guess.
This episode of Wollongong Let's Get Salty is brought to you by our gold sponsor, Blend ESQ, a Wollongong-based environment, health and safety and quality consultancy dedicated to future-focused change. A Blend ESQ client is ready to take action, but is not sure where to start. With decades of experience across industry and environment, Blend ESQ can design custom programs to propel your business and empower your teams. Visit blendesq.com.au or get in touch on LinkedIn to find out more. Your landscape images are regularly used to promote Wollongong as a tourism destination. In fact, you've won many national, state and regional awards for your work. Tourism brings such a fabulous diversity to our local economy, and I truly believe that appreciation of natural landscapes is an important key to protecting them.
Sure.
So in a conversation you and I had recently, you raised a concern that I thought would be interesting to briefly chat about here, and that's the ugly side of social media.
Yep.
Sometimes tens of thousands of people will flock to a place in the quest for that Instagrammable photo in order to curate a beautiful feed. And you've seen some horror stories in terms of local environmental damage. So tell me about one that sticks out in your mind.
I guess there's quite a few around the Illawarra that are where the environment's sort of been trampled and graffitied and that sort of thing in the bush that I hadn't seen in the past until sort of Instagram sort of came about. I guess the biggest one I saw change, and very quickly, was the base of Belmore Falls. It was fairly unknown to most people how to get to the bottom of it. And down the bottom was absolutely amazing rainforest, probably the best, you know, one of the best areas that I've seen. It was really pristine, really beautiful. And the further you went downstream, there's waterfalls and cascades and, you know, moss-covered rocks everywhere. It was really amazing. And it sort of got out there on Instagram. Someone sort of found it and, you know, they sort of had a million followers or something like that. And, yeah, it started getting out where it was. And once they started posting about it, and next minute there was thousands of people down there. It was almost every day. Weekends was absolutely packed down there. And I saw the sort of the little path, if it was even a path down there, was absolutely trampled to the size of, you know, almost a fire trail going down. So the bush was all trampled, but the rubbish left behind was, you know, incredible at the bottom of it. There was a cleanup I heard about later on the news in, you know, some people up in the Southern Highlands cleaned it up, and it was truckloads and truckloads of rubbish came out of there.
Wow.
And just a couple of years prior, you know, and I've been going there for 10, 15 years and I never saw one drop of rubbish. And I guess that's what Instagram can do. And some other spots around the Illawarra, you know, I've seen trees graffitied, rocks graffitied, graffiti at the base of waterfalls. Yeah, so I think it has positives, but it's also got some negatives for the environment, depending on how you, use your Instagram, I guess. And, yeah, some places should probably be kept a little bit quiet, I guess, and take into consideration the environment and do people actually know about it and is it worth promoting it? Yeah, some places should be kept to yourself, I think.
Yeah, particularly when it directs everything to one spot.
Yes, that's absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. I'd like to switch now to talk about the work you do for industry, which is actually how we met.
Sure.
Because you take corporate event photos for i3net, the Illawarra Innovative Industry Network.
Yep.
So business and government can hire you to take photos of a specific property from the air.
Yep.
And I have a favourite here too, where you captured a rainbow or a series of rainbows in the dust suppression sprays of the Port Kembla coal stockpiles.
Yep.
I just thought it was such a great way to find some beauty in a very industrial scene.
Yep.
So you also get commissioned to do some pretty adrenaline junky missions. What's it like hanging out of a helicopter to get that perfect shot? I imagine that must be pretty fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's probably one of the most enjoyable photo shoots I've done. Recently, I had an opportunity to do some aerial photography shooting power line poles in northern New South Wales.
Yep.
And that's the door off the chopper with me sitting on the edge, you know, harnessed in, obviously. Yeah, with a big camera shooting telegraph poles. Yeah, I absolutely loved it, sort of flying around and at low level shooting them, but also the ferry in between. You know, you do a certain number of poles and then you go to a different area. And sitting on the edge of the chopper, I was thinking, you know, this is absolutely amazing, you know, looking at the mountain ranges. And we're flying around at the time Mount Warning up in northern New South Wales. You know, it's an old volcano and quite a dramatic, you know, looking mountain. And just flying over that, the views are absolutely incredible.
Yeah, such a different perspective.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's really enjoyed it.
So what was the purpose of taking the photos of the telegraph poles?
It was for bushfire prevention. So since the 2019 bushfires, the energy companies need to inspect all their poles. I think it's annually. We take the photographs and they have to be pretty sharp so they can zoom in on it and check all the wires and everything's intact to hopefully prevent bushfires.
Okay. So, and vegetation around them, I imagine.
Yes, that's right as well. Yeah, vegetation or any fallen trees on the lines.
Interesting mix of, you know, a way to do that, because I imagine drone technology is also big in that space in terms of having people do it through that technology.
Yes, it is. Yeah, the company I was doing the photos for has a drone crew as well. So, I'm not sure how they determine what parts the drones do and what the helicopter does. I guess a lot of the areas we did was quite remote in bushland and up in the mountains, and that was even better for me. The drones are probably used more so in the townships and that sort of thing, I would think.
Right, yep.
Yep.
And you've mentioned to me previously that sometimes you'll get out in a gyrocopter to take photos. What was that for?
Well, I actually did the aerial photography for 5 or 6 years out of the gyrocopter. And that was a really good experience as well. I met the pilot and we got on really well. He was a really good guy. Unfortunately, he was in an accident and lost his life out at Orange in a gyrocopter accident, sort of doing lessons for flying the gyrocopter. He was a nationally recognised pilot, and he was doing the training for some guys out at Orange, and they had an engine malfunction. So unfortunately, he's not with us. But, yeah, he was a really good guy. I got on really well with him. We sort of flew all over the Illawarra. It was, I guess an old-fashioned way of taking photos compared to using a drone now, but I sort of really enjoy being up there and flying all over the place and, yeah, getting tons of stock images along the way of things that most people probably wouldn't see up on the escarpment and, the beaches and all over the Illawarra.
Amazing. To round out our conversation today on the themes of connection to nature and local post-settlement history, what do you think we can learn from past generations about protecting nature for future generations?
I sort of always look to my grandparents as, pretty good examples of being sustainable, and they sort of really took care of the environment. They never littered. They were sort of tough. They never whinged. They never complained. They reused everything. Everything they could, from the newspapers to plastic bags to whatever they had, and they reused it and didn't just throw it away. My grandfather fixed absolutely everything. They never threw anything away. And I guess they went through the depression and hard times, and they were very good at reusing everything and to the best of their ability. They had their own vegetable garden, fruit trees and everything like that. They left a minimal impact, I guess, on the environment compared to someone probably these days, I would think. And also, I think they were quite content with, you know, what they had. They didn't need the best of everything. They didn't need to keep replacing things all the time. Yeah, so I think they did a really good job, and, you know, I always sort of looked up to them and, yeah, I guess tried to follow in their footsteps as much as I can.
Yeah. I think there's a different level of pride in that generation and respect for the things that you did have.
Yes.
And probably came from value. The cost of things was higher, so therefore you looked after it and you fixed it.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, whereas today I constantly come up against this. It's in the argument of, well, it only costs $30 to replace it.
Yep.
But it cost you $50 to fix it.
Yeah, that's right.
If it's fixable at all.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that generation as well had a lot of skills that we've, a lot of people these days have lost as well, the ability to be able to fix things and work things out for themselves.
That's so true.
Yeah. So I think they're a great generation. I really sort of admire them in many ways. And I think part of it maybe as well, we've had it pretty good, especially during my lifetime. We haven't seen the wars and the Great Depressions like my grandparents did, and there hasn't been as hard a times. So I think they learnt to do the best they could with that, and whereas we've had it pretty good, yeah, it can be a bit wasteful at times, I guess.
I think some of it comes down to busyness. So I think I know as a working mother that the expectations are higher, and therefore doing things like darning the socks and, you know, when it's $5 to replace them kind of become harder to justify.
Yep, absolutely.
So thank you for coming on today. I love your messaging about treading lightly and leaving nothing in the bush.
Yes.
And more broadly, just using what we need and fixing stuff. I think that's something that should make a huge comeback in terms of if we were to get more circular and be more sustainable in the way that we choose to live.
Yep.
Thank you for being the passionate historian.
Thanks.
Nature explorer and fabulous photographer that you are. And I hope you continue to teach people about our local history and to bring us these beautiful images that just present that essence of nature.
Thanks so much, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
So if people want to get in contact with you, how do they go about doing that?
I guess the best way is through, they can find my website, which is chilby.com.au. There's a contact tab on there, or, you know, they can email me, brad@chilby.com.au. And I'm also on Facebook under Chilby Photography and Instagram, Chilby Photography as well.
Awesome.
Thank you.
This season of Wollongong Let's Get Salty is brought to you by our platinum sponsor, Soto Engineering. They understand the vision and embrace emerging technology and advanced engineering to design, build and refine a Wollongong that locals can be proud of. Salty conversations are possible thanks to our generous sponsors. Let's Get Salty editorial decisions, content and guest selection remain entirely independent of sponsorship. Join the movement. Have a conversation. Immerse yourself in nature and take action. Subscribe, rate and review the podcast on your favourite podcasting app. And don't forget to follow us on social. So go get salty.